information we've got about the Christian faith should never be claimed that that died over that particular area. And so it was just one of those things, either it was a pilot error, and there was no claim attached to the attack. The missile was touched it down, really. I suppose the duty should have recognized it was worth it all by someone of ours, but however, we never knew at this stage whether it could have been a German pilot and a bullet plane. No, we saw the bombs delivered and we knew the radio station was just on the hill just north of the Rhine. And we saw the plane come in, drop two bombs, turn around and straight out again, which was the usual custom for us. And if there were any fishermen out at sea, really, even if it was a small boat, they would have been seen coming. And so when we joined it, they said that we were the strongest concern with how many were in it. But fortunately, there were no children in the matinee bus Saturday afternoon had been cancelled. Nothing got to know the reason why, but it was an act of God because that was cancelled, otherwise, there'd be no government among the children of Rye. Normally been attended. There were one or two fishermen got to try the machine gun while we were at the station, and I remember one lot with the machine gun. It was a real bad news, but of course, he still went out to the machine. Of course, he was there way up in the middle of the day. They didn't carry any deterrent or anything they could fire back at. They were just stoning, so any German raider that might come in over the sea. No, they never got. They never did. They were supposed to come in that fast, and so they, what they had to do now again before you could say Jack Robinson. Last of all, travels and the time you got your rifles or anything like that was gone. No, there aren't the Yankee aircraft in the Army associated with that. So I can't tell you a lot in on that direction at all. Well, we knew we were eventually getting that way to going abroad. And of course, when the Spirit landed at Rye, we moved over to Cumberland. And that was the service to them. We didn't have anything up to that, but I mean, everybody knew we were sort of getting prepared for that. And of course, when we moved over to Cumberland, we were inspected to try to things came down. And, but of course, then it was a first come, first conclusion. Yes, we were so. Got up, bitten spans of polished sort of light mirrors and everything clean, smart. We got all assembled on a big parade, and very impressed by his mild good humor that he possessed, although I did see that he'd been it was a great occasion, and I think all the battalion really appreciated that he came down and got no less from his destination, which he immediately agreed to. Yes, he just wished it well. Fitted in with the job so well that I think we all admired him. I lost one of my best friends at Campbell, Doc Freeze. I don't know what company he came from, but he did join the carriers, and he was a very nice lad. He was a commercial traveller before the war. We got very, very friendly, and occasionally went out for a drink, although we weren't supposed to drink with subordinates as a body, but we used to go out for the night and have a drink at the local game of cards. But when we got to Camberley, well, he was on CO's orders, 9 o'clock. I told him to get ready, he was in CO's orders, and he wondered what it was all about. He went, and when he came back, and says, what do you think? He says, I don't know, what were you all about? He says, he wants to recommend me for officer status. He says, but I didn't know what to do, he says. I didn't want to break his friendship up. So he said, I said, ask him to give me an hour, and I'd let him know, and he agreed. So he said, I thought I'd come and have a word with you first and see what you thought. So I gave it a bit of thought, and I said, well, my answer. Well, you know where we're going. I said, we're going abroad. So I said, if you go, if you're recommended to go to the officers' training unit in Cambridge, and so on, at least you'll be there for 1 month or 2 months, 3 months, we don't know how long. He says, and then you get an appointment. Stationed anywhere then, you could go to any unit or battalion, you might That was the general rule that you were supposed to associate, you were supposed to be on the higher level. I think a lot of them were that ones who got out of it. You didn't sit and go on to that. No doubt it's regular, I mean, that was as far as we were concerned. But I didn't know that, I'm afraid. When we were in the, the barracks or whatever the station was, you kept that up, but when off the rail, then I think you could have whatever I associated with, so I got back to the George Graham, he was a gun gunner, and he was an intelligent man. He never got any recommendations. He was still a private, but he was very intelligent man. He was in the grand school, and his straightforward. We were friendly lot in general. We'd no animosity between any of us. We all got on together, so to speak. So we were quite a happy crowd. No, we just had the all of us trip. We had the Penguins, we had the, everyone had a rifle, their own rifle. And that was a total commitment to that stage. We did get the anti-tank rifle, which was sort of a bit more powerful than the ordinary rifle. I doubt whether it was some of the German tanks, but we used to fire it from the shoulder. It was really, in view of everybody, it wasn't such a, an asset to be carrying. It was more of a burden because we weren't likely to use it a lot. Well, it wouldn't be mounted, no. It was just a, like a very tall, a heavier rifle, and of course it was a bigger bore. I don't recall firing it myself. I don't know that I fired it, but it had, I remember one saying that fired it from the pit, Whether he does or not, I don't know, but it was called the Devonshire House, he called the name of it. And apparently there was a big convoy of us going out, quite a few ships. Don't know how many in total. But it was quite a decent convoy. And of course, the route being taken was up over Northern Ireland into the Atlantic. And, way down the middle of the Atlantic to Gibraltar, sweeping across then to, as we got south towards Gibraltar, through the straits and into Algiers. It was a dreadful journey. I remember Sergeant Walton, first day out, he was sick. We never saw him again until we arrived in Algiers. So, he was very seasick. He was kept in the ambulance section. There was quite a few of people who were sick people. I was really headache, it was like a weight on your head all the time. That was when the sea was rough, of course. It was rough. Called destroyers flashing around, running around fast around the old of the convoy, and submarine spares, of course, going at full speed ahead and dropping the depth charges from the rear of the destroyer to the depth charges. Managed to keep the, although the submarine, German submarines were there, they managed to keep them out, and the convoy passed very safely into Algiers, right into Algiers Harbour. Yeah, they all went up by rail, the big carriers, and those loaded onto another ship. They were loaded onto the ship that we were on. For all his quarters, well, now that... How can I describe it? especially when it came to night time, every place seemed to have to be occupied with sleeping on the deck, on the tables, in the dining room, and hammocks slung up above. And you had to get your bed down quickly after tea, otherwise you wouldn't get a place. Well, yes, the hammocks. We were hammocks right away through. I had one duty, one guard duty to do. We were studied out decently. So I was in charge of the guard one particular night. And the rope was doing a fair amount of rocking. And of course, you had to be guard posted at the watch. I wasn't supposed to, but to make sure everything was all right. But the next morning, dear, I've never seen such a sight. Go up the stairs of the gangplank onto deck. Everybody were dashing to get on deck. And believe me, I've never seen the kind of thing in all my life. They were throwing up all over the place. I went down into the sergeant's mess. We were all sergeants here, so I sat at the dining table, ready for dining. So I just asked if anybody would like a lump of fat. And I remember Sergeant Dunham and two more door up off the seats up onto the side of the deck and threw it. That's a bit of fun you have when in that sort of position, just to see how everybody reacts. But I wanted to say to myself that that information that keeps something on your stomach, don't be tired to be sick on nothing. Eat a biscuit, go drink a tea, you always have something on your stomach. But probably that helps. I did have a very, very severe headache, which lasted a day or two, and that was, you couldn't get rid of it, probably that was better than being sick like it was worse, but there was quite a lot of seasick, and I did have a bit of a sleep. As I said, when we were at Camberley, we did say we knew it was the destination for the sport. And I suppose in the meantime, I would probably write home and say that we were going overseas, but I would say where. We just didn't know we were going. We could have been anywhere as far as that was concerned. I think we were going into a war zone, and we could have been anywhere. But we were never disclosed generally the exact place where we were going. Well, most of the time we were walking deck and doing various That was the main factor. You could only get the car.